قناها. It's a wonderful day to get to preach to you. Amen, church? It's kind of weird. It seems like after every auction what we have, I get to preach the next time. Like Jimmy's like, here's the auction. It's time to go on a mini vacation for the weekend. Just happens that his grandson's birthday falls on that same weekend. So just pray for your pastor and his wife that they might relax and spend some time with their grandson and their son. But speak the name of Jesus. Amen. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Amen, church. Amen. This is the Lord that you serve. Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. I always like to give a good report, and it's a great report after the auction. Amen. We had a goal, I think, of 25,000, and with the sponsors and everything that we got from the auction, we got just over $26,000. Amen. Praise the Lord. It seems like God knows exactly what we need at the right exact time. Amen, church. Is God not so worthy of our praise this morning? Is He not so worthy of our shouts of joy? Amen, church. He is so wonderful. He is worthy of all those things. I want to read Psalms 117. I think it's the shortest chapter in the whole Bible. It says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you peoples. For great is His love towards us and His faithfulness. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Amen, church. Amen. If you could just say that every single day, it would be a wonderful day. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you peoples. For great is His love towards us. Amen, church. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Oh, wow, is that so true? Is it so wonderful? Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. I had a lot of messages this week. I didn't know what I was going to preach on. I wanted to preach on something else. It was a little bit harder of a message, but I just really felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, no, you need to do this. So on Saturday, I decided that this is what the Lord wanted me to preach on. So we'll see where it goes this morning. But Psalms 118 this morning is where we're going to be. But praise the Lord, church, for He is so good to this church. He is so wonderful to this church. He's so wonderful to this ministry. And listen to me, church. Many Christians struggle with this one thing, thankfulness. Being thankful to the Lord. Listen to me, Thanksgiving is coming up. And often, we often miss what God has done for us through the year. Maybe you're sitting here today and I ask you this question, what are you thankful for? And if you cannot think of anything, there might be something wrong if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. If you can't think of anything you're thankful for, there might be something wrong with your relationship with God. Maybe you're afraid to tell others about the work of Christ in your life. Maybe you're afraid to tell others of what Christ has done in your life. There's people, there's Christians afraid to do that. Believers who've been redeemed, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, afraid to share the awesome work of Christ in their life. We often get too busy in life. We often get too busy and we forget God has just answered my prayer. Or we forget the awesome and wonderful joy that the Lord gives us every day. We often forget the grace of God in our life every day. Why? Because we get too busy. Or maybe you have lots of problems in your life. Maybe you have lots of struggles in your life. And we tend to miss it because we think that if God gives me something, I can praise Him. But listen to me, if the Lord never gave you a dollar, if He never gave you 50 cents, if He never gave you a shelter to live in, listen to me, He is still worthy to be praised every day. Why? Because of His goodness. His goodness alone is worthy for us to praise Him. Many Christians struggle with this. And listen to me, I want to ask you this question, church. When is the last time you've given thanks to God? Sometimes that can be a sobering question. When is the last time you've given thanks to God? Real thanks. Not, God, I thank you for this food. Bless it to my bodies. Much deeper than that. When's the last time you thank the Lord for Jesus Christ? For saving your life? When's the last time you've thanked God for the church? I think sometimes that's missed often. We think sometimes it's just a building, it's no big deal. But listen to me, this is the place where the believers come to worship God. I'm thankful every day for this church. Because if it wasn't for this church encouraging to carrying each other's burdens, to rejoicing with each other and mourning with each other, I don't know how good of a spot I might be. So praise the Lord if you've been good and faithful in doing what you're called to do here. Praise Him, church. Praise Him. Psalms 118. I want to give you a little bit of context. When I was looking into this, is what's considered, I'm going to probably butcher this name, but a Hallel Psalm or Hallel Psalms. It's six psalms that are read during the Passover. And why it's called that is because typically after every line, the head of the household would recite these lines, and then the people, the rest of the people would say, Hallelujah. That's why it's called that. And it's interesting to know that in Matthew 26, I'm not saying that he did this, but in Matthew 26:30, it says that Jesus and the disciples sang hymns after the Passover meal, after the Last Supper. So keep that in mind when we're going through this. That's an interesting piece that's put in there. I think this is probably one of the things that they sang or recited. They're not always sung, but sometimes they're just recited. In Psalms 118, starting in verse 1, it says, Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. Amen, church. Is He not so good that He deserves our thanks? Is He not so good that His love endures forever? And I love this word. It says, His love endures forever. This shows us it keeps going and going and going, but it's so much more. You could almost translate it to this: His love is and was forever. It's an everlasting love. It endured, so it doesn't have a beginning, it doesn't have an end. That is how big God's love is. His goodness is enough to praise Him, church. His love is so great, it has always existed. It is so powerful that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen, church. Paul says in Romans 8:38 and 39 says, For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor either angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen, church? Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. When you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, listen to me very closely, nothing can separate you from this everlasting love. Nothing can separate you from the love that endures forever. And I love this. The psalmist, we don't know who it is. It's probably David, but we're not for sure. The psalmist here says, Let Israel say His love. Let the house of Aaron say His love. And let those who fear the Lord. He calls every single person to say, His love endures forever. Everyone who fears Him. It's a call, church. It's a call to give thanks to God. You're called to give thanks to God. What does the word say? Even if you don't do it, the rocks will. If you're not going to do it, creation will do it. That's important to understand. Do not miss out on your blessing to thank God. Do not miss out on the blessing to thank God for what He's done in your life. Listen to me. You ought to give thanks to God every single day of your life. He calls every person, all the people in Israel, the priest, all the way to the priest, and anyone who fears Him. That's Gentiles who fear the Lord. That's every single person who fears God ought to give praise to the Lord. Verse 5, it says, When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust princes. Amen, church. It is always better to trust the Lord. It is always better to confide in the Lord. It's always better to take refuge in the Lord. Listen to me. The psalmist can say that God is good. Why? Because he knows that the Lord is with him. Why can he say all those things in the beginning? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Because when he is hard-pressed and he cries to the Lord, it is God who puts him in the spacious place. When he doesn't know where to go, he knows that the Lord is with him. He knows that the Lord is his helper. That's why you can say God is good, because you understand as a believer in Christ that God is with you. He's with you to the very end of the age. Amen, church? Amen. He is always with you. What a promise and what a comfort in these verses. Have you ever been there, church? Have you ever been hard pressed? Hard pressed. ever felt hard pressed? Maybe you suffer with high anxiety. You ever felt hard pressed? Maybe you suffer with depression. You ever felt hard pressed? You ever not know how to pay your bills? You ever felt hard pressed? You ever had problem after problem after problem in life? Have you ever felt hard pressed? What does he say in that verse? I cried to the Lord. You know that's all you have to do as a believer in Christ. When you are hard pressed, when you don't know where to go, when you don't know how to get out, all you have to do is cry to the Lord. And what does it say? It says, he brought me into a spacious place. Maybe some of you suffer from claustrophobia or whatever all that stuff is, where you're stuck in a tight place. It is God who takes us out of the tight place and puts us in such a spacious place. Have you ever felt that, church? Have you ever felt the Lord just take all the pressure away? All the hardness away? I've been there, church. Oh, what a wonderful feeling. You know how easy it is to get to that feeling? I cried to the Lord. That's all you have to do. I cried to the Lord. This is what the psalmist understood, that if he cried to the Lord would be there to help him. That's a wonderful promise and a wonderful comfort. But listen to me closely, church. This promise that the Lord is with you does not mean you'll never feel hard-pressed. This is hopefully you understand this as a new believer in Christ. Listen to me, those of you who are new believers in Christ, you will feel hard-pressed. You will feel depressed at times. You will feel like you're not going to make it at times. You will feel like you can't do it, or you're not good enough, or whatever it might be at times. You're going to feel hard-pressed at times. But listen to me, it is only God who can take you into the spacious place. It is only God who can help you. It is the Lord that is with you. And he says, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? No one can touch you if you have Jesus Christ. You can be physically beaten down, but praise the Lord, he's given us everlasting life. Amen, church. It says, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. When you understand and you cry to the Lord, you understand that the Lord is your helper. You understand Psalms 121. I lift my eyes up to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand that it is God who helps us. It is God who takes us from the hard-pressed places and puts us in the spacious places. You understand that nobody can touch you if you have the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be beaten down. You can be hurt in this world. But listen to me closely, church. You cannot be defeated in Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Amen. Understand that. But listen to this very closely. It is not always about how we feel. It's about what we know, church. It is not always about how we feel in life. It's not always about the emotions in our life. Praise God, he's given it to us. But listen to me, it's much more about what we know. When you don't feel like God is around, remember this, church, he is. Because why? We know it from his word. When you feel hard-pressed, understand that God takes you from that place and put you into a wonderful place. Understand that. That is what we know, church. We know that Jesus Christ is our Lord. We know he's given us everlasting life. We know he's redeemed our life. We know we're not defeated in Jesus Christ. We have victory in Jesus Christ. Remember that, because when you feel defeated, you'll know that I'm not defeated. Amen, church? It's not about what you feel. It's about what you know. It is God who is with you. Trust him, church. It is God who is with you. Trust him. It said it's better to take refuge in the Lord than it is to trust humans. The psalmist knew here. And if this was David who wrote this, oh wow, did David know this? David understood. Could you imagine being a king, a leader of anything? How many times have people let you down? How many times has David been betrayed? How many times has someone said something to David that wasn't good? David understood, or this psalmist, I'm sure, he obviously understood, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. And I love how he had to even bump it up a little bit, just so everybody understood. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than it is to trust princes. Those we think that are great, that are wonderful, that have everything, have money, success, wealth, whatever it might be. I'll tell you this, it is better to trust the Lord than it is to trust them. Amen, church? Amen. Verse 10. It says, all the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surround me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Amen, church. Have you ever felt trapped in your life? Have you ever felt like you can't get out in your life? I love this picture. It says, I'm surrounded. I have nowhere to go. I don't know how to get out. Well, I'm about to fall. I'm pushed back. I'm about to fall. And it says, but the Lord helped me. When you're in those crazy moments of life, when you're surrounded, when you're trapped, when you don't know how to get out, it is the Lord who is your strength. It is the Lord who's your defense. And listen to me, He has become our salvation. Amen, church? He is our salvation every day. It is by the power of God He can give us strength to make it through the hardships of life. Amen, church? We're trusting the world too much. We're trusting humans too much. When our help, our defense, some of your translations may be your song. And He has become our salvation. I want you to picture the cross for a moment, church. Has He not become your salvation? His Son. I love the message Jimmy gave on Wednesday. Hopefully you were here to hear it. It was about Abraham and Isaac and Abraham's test of faith. Abraham's taken his son up the mountain to be sacrificed. But God calls to him and Abraham says, here I am. But listen to me. It says on the mountain it will be provided. God led his son up the mountain, his one and only son up the mountain to be sacrificed for you and I. Why? He has become my salvation. He's become our salvation, church. Remember, church, He's your salvation. You're not defeated anymore. It says, for the wages of sin is death. If you have Christ, that's not you anymore. That's important to understand. How do I get it? How do I get through in life? I understand who my salvation is. Do you understand that today, church? I know there's people here today that are struggling. I know there's people here today that don't know how to make it through. Listen to me very closely. If you have Jesus Christ, He's your salvation. You have confidence in the Lord. You have confidence in the hope. It's not a wishful hope. Oh, wow, I hope I get to heaven. Oh, it's so much greater than that. It's the hope of assurance. He's become our salvation. Is that not enough to praise Him, church? Amen? Is that not enough to praise the Lord? Is it not enough to praise God for who He is? Amen. Have you ever felt trapped in life? Verse 15. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim the Lord, what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Amen, church? Amen. People should be able to hear our praises. That is what I get. It says, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Resound in the tents of the righteous. When is the last time you've given thanks to God publicly? When's the last time you thank God for what He's done out loud? When's the last time you told mom or dad of what Jesus has done in your life? When's the last time you've told a friend of what's been done in your life? But listen to me, when the righteous actually praise God, the world hears it. Amen, church. When we actually praise God, the world hears it. And people need to hear the praises of God's people. Amen. And it says, the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Amen, church. Are we not a witness to that on Thursday? Are we not a witness to that in the ministries where God has done mighty things in our life? Is He not the God who split the Red Sea? Is He not the God who led the Israelites through the wilderness? Is He not the God that knocked down the walls of Jericho? Is He not the God that made the sun stand still? Is He not the God that kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from being burned? Is He not the God that saved Daniel from the lion? Is He not the God who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to save the world? Amen, church. He's the God whose right hand has done mighty, mighty things. And I love how the psalmist had to say it twice. It says, the Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Listen to me. God will be exalted whether you exalt him or not. Amen, church. Why? Because the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Things that mere humans can never do. The Lord's right hand has done so many mighty things. Listen to me. Listen to me. I've once heard it like this, and I think it's so true. It is not right for those who have received so much to be so silent. Do you hear me, church? It is not right for those who have received so much to be so silent. I think that is so true about the church today. The church has received so much in their life, should be so thankful, but wow, are we so silent. Maybe we would see more people come to Christ. Maybe we would see more names. I know we've probably forgotten about that board, but I think we would see more names off that board saved for Jesus Christ if we praise God a little bit more. If we weren't so silent about the things that God's done in our life. You know, people think God's not moving anymore. You know, people think God doesn't do anything anymore. That is so untrue. So far from the truth. We see God move every single day in this church. God has done so many mighty things. We ought to tell somebody. We ought to tell somebody. I love this verse in 17. It says, I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. That's true about every believer in Jesus Christ. I will not die but live. You see it quoted throughout the New Testament. I will not die but live and proclaim what the Lord has done. Listen to me. There's something that kind of dawned on me this morning. I had to write it down so I didn't forget. Listen to me. These ministries are a great, awesome tool. Great, awesome tool to help those in need. I love to see it every day. People being helped. That's what we're called to do. But listen to me very closely. It's not only a tool for helping people. It's a witness of God's power. It's a witness of who God is. It's a witness of how powerful God's right hand is. That's something that I just kind of dawned on me. I love the ministry. It's a great tool, a great thing that we get to do to get to help people. It's so awesome. It's so wonderful. But listen to me. When we share what is happening in the ministries, it shows the power of God. Remember that. It says, the Lord has chastened me severely, but he's not given me over to death. Sometimes the Lord comes down. He disciplines. You could also say that he tests. There. He trains us. He corrects us. But he hasn't given me over to death. The Lord doesn't give you so much that it puts you to the point of death. Not everlasting. Amen, church? Amen. Verse 19 says, open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks for you answered me and you have become my salvation. Amen, church. Amen. I love this picture. The psalmist is giving us a picture of heaven. He's giving us a picture of walking into the gates. And listen to me. What is this gate? This gate is Jesus Christ. And what does it say? I love this. It's so amazing to me to get the picture. It says, open for me the gate of the righteous. This is the gate of the righteous. And I am not righteous. I don't get through the gate without righteousness. But listen to me. Amen for Jesus Christ that he has given us his righteousness so that we might enter the gates of heaven. Amen. It's so wonderful for me to understand. It says, this is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. And he says, I will give thanks for you have answered me. Listen to me. If you've called out for salvation, it is God, it is Jesus Christ who's answered you. And you get to walk through the gate of the righteous, not by your own righteousness so that no man can boast, but it is by Jesus Christ through his grace and his mercy that he's given you his righteousness. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. And it says, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Amen. That verse there is scattered throughout. Peter uses it in Acts chapter 4 when he's telling the people, you are the builders that rejected the stone. You're the people that rejected the chief, the cornerstone. And listen to me, this is a sobering understanding of how the world acts towards Christ. They reject the stone. They're the builders that reject the stone, but listen to me, the stone that the world says, oh, it's crumbled, it's not good, has become the chief cornerstone, the capstone, the stone that holds everything together. And it says, verse 23, it says, the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Amen, church. Why should you rejoice and be glad this morning? Because you have Christ who lets you enter the gate of heaven. Why should you rejoice and be glad? Because you will not die, but live. Why should you be rejoiced and be glad? Because you have been hard-pressed in your life, you've been depressed in your life, and the God of all comfort who comforts you, listen to me, has comforted you beyond measure. I love the verse in Ephesians, I believe, where it says, if you ask, he is able to do immeasurably more than what you ask. Has he not done that with grace in your life? Grace that abounds and abounds and abounds in our life. Amen, church. What is this gate? Remember this, church. It is Jesus Christ. For no one gets to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Listen to me. The world says this gate is this way or that way, but listen to me closely. The Word of God tells us very clearly that the way to get into heaven, the gate, the way to open up the gate is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Not all religions lead to heaven. That's important to understand. Not all religions lead to heaven. We ought to praise God for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Verse 25, it says, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God. He has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen, church. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I think there's Jesus Christ is pictured throughout this psalm. It is Jesus Christ who comes in the name of the Lord. And listen to me. Listen to me, as I mentioned to you before, Jesus might have sang this song right before he goes to the cross. Listen to me, what does verse 27 says? It says, the Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, joined in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. What is that describing? It's describing the sacrifice. From the projections of the altar, the four corners, the sacrifice is tied up. Listen to me, your Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, was tied up on the cross. Why? So that we might rejoice in salvation, so that the whole world might be saved. Praise the Lord for the cross of Christ in your life. The sacrifice, whoa, what a brutal place. That's what it took to cast our sins aside, to wash our sins as white as snow. Verse 28 says, you are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Is he your God, church? Listen to me. There's always when he says, you are my God, what does it say? And I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Are you praising God? Are you exalting God? Again, I would say, God will be exalted whether or not you exalt him or not. Do not miss out on the blessing to get to exalt God, to get to praise God, to get to worship God. And I love how he ends this psalm. It is so wonderful and beautiful. He ends it just the way we started it, church. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen, church. It's a beautiful way, just as we begun it. Is he not your God, church? Have you forgotten to praise him? Have you forgotten to praise the Lord for what he's done? I wonder, church, I wonder what the church would be like if the people of God would praise him. I wonder. Listen to me. So often we get caught up in the hardships of life. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we feel like, I'm not enough. Sometimes we feel like, is it really worth going to church? You ever felt like that? I felt like that. Listen to me, church. If you cannot praise the Lord, there might be something wrong with your relationship. Let that sink in for a moment. Think about all the wonderful moments in the Bible. What do they often end with? Praise. Think about Paul and Silas in the jail in Acts chapter 16. That's a pretty hard-pressed place. In a jail cell, in shackles and chains. But what do? In shackles and chains, they praise the Lord. They sing songs to the Lord, and what happens? A miracle. Listen to me. If you praise God, you might just see God move His hand. Amen, church? If we praise God, we might see the Lord's right hand do mighty things in our life. We often get too busy in life, and maybe we're missing out on the blessing God has for us. Listen to me. There's lots and lots of moments. We don't have time to go to every single one, but you got the 10 lepers. What happens? Jesus heals all of them. He says, go to the priest, and they're healed on the way, and only one comes back to give thanks to God. Only one cared about Jesus more than the others cared about getting back home. That's important to understand. But listen to me. I want to read this verse just really quick. It's such a wonderful reminder to us. Most of us know this, but listen to it closely. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 7, says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us that this all-suppressing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. Amen, church? Listen to me, church. We are hard-pressed all the time as believers. Understand that as a believer, but we are not crushed. Amen, church? Perplexed. We don't know where to go, but we're not in despair. Amen, church? Amen. We're persecuted beyond measure sometimes. Other Christians around the world persecuted even more than we'll ever know. Listen to me. This is so true and so much you need to understand it, that they're not abandoned. The people who die as martyrs for Jesus Christ, listen to it closely, they were not abandoned by God. God was with them every single place that they went. That's important to understand, church. Important to understand. Important to understand. Struck down, but not destroyed. We have victory in the Lord. Victory in Jesus. Amen, church. Amen. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. What does that mean? Because the work of Jesus Christ in your life, people opt to see Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? So I'll ask you the question, church. Do people see Jesus in your life? If you're probably not praising Him, it might be difficult for them to see it. Understand that, church. Beautiful, beautiful way to end that psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I wonder what our life would be like if we praised the Lord a little bit more. I wonder what the church would be like if we praised the Lord a little bit more. And listen to me, you'll be sitting around the Thanksgiving table on Thursday. I wonder what your family might be like if you praise the Lord a little bit more. I think about that so often. I have unbelievers in my family, people who don't know the Lord. I wonder how the Lord could change them if I praise the Lord a little bit more. Amen. Amen. Maybe you need a family member. Maybe there's someone on that board who needs to know that God is still working in your life so that they might understand that God can work in theirs. Again, I'll remind you with this before we close out. Listen to it closely. I've already said it. It's not always about the way we feel. It's about what we know. Amen, church? So I'll ask you the question one more time. When's the last time you've given thanks? Let's stand, church.